Welcome to the Baseball America Podcast. Baseball America, bringing you baseball news you can't get anywhere else for more than 35 years. Now it's time to talk baseball.
Hello, everyone. Another Baseball America Podcast. We've got J.J. Cooper and Kyle Glazer joining you here today, and we're back to talk World Baseball Classic. We know we did the World Baseball Classic Facebook Live and podcast on Tuesday. That wasn't enough. I mean, that was the
appetizer.
Yeah, that was the appetizer. This is the main course. We're going to go pool by pool. We wanted to get this in so you can listen to it before the games begin on Monday. And I do mean, I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time, I am not looking forward to the sleep deprivation that is coming because we've got games at 5 in the morning. We've got games at 11 at night, and that's just how it's going to be. So, you know, but before we do that, we do want to remind you that our podcasts are brought to you and are sponsored by Baseballism. Baseballism is the official off-the-field brand of baseball, offering apparel for men, women, and kids. If you're a baseball fan, you need to check out Baseballism.com or visit their retail locations in Cooperstown, New York, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Visit Baseballism.com and enter the code BA2017 to save 20% on your order. As you've seen, if you've gone to any of our Facebook Lives, you see us wearing the Baseballism gear. It's really good gear, really good t-shirts, hats, and you need to go to Baseballism.com and check it out. But, so Kyle, as we dive into this, as we get ready for the start of a pretty fast-moving 3 weeks is basically what we're going to have, because once this thing gets rolling, there are games and games and games and games. But we're going to just go start. We'll get our predictions. I know we predicted. I'm going to modify my prediction. I want to change.
I am too.
But we'll start pool by pool. We start with pool A. That's the pool that's going to get everything started for the tournament. Everyone basically is there now. We have Team Israel playing exhibitions, Team Netherlands playing exhibitions.
Yeah, Monday at 4:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the opening game of the World Baseball Classic.
Now, I want to say, is it 4:30, I think, the broadcast start, or 4:30 on the first pitch? I believe it may be 5 on the first pitch.
It might be 5 on the first pitch.
So I'm not sure on that. We'll check on that to be sure.
Either way, it's early.
Very early. let's be honest. We're on the East Coast. It's very early. The West Coasters, like where you used to live, you know, out on California. That's like, I don't even know. Like,
no, you find out about what happened when you wake up the next day.
And you either make it a very late.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just basically, you go without sleep. I mean, there's no other way to put it. That's one of the things also when we talk about the TV ratings for the World Baseball Classic. We do have to remember, eight of these teams in the first round are playing halfway around the world at times that are not exactly ideal for this. But so we have Israel, Korea, the Netherlands, and Taiwan. I do want to work in a little bit of international baseball history here. You have Israel is the upstart here. And
first time in the Classic. And I really thought that the team in 2013, they were so good. They were so close. I actually thought that was a really good team. And it just didn't work out, but
right, they were in the qualifier that year and lost in the final. Fell one game short of qualifying for the 2013 World Baseball Classic.
So now that they're here, I think there's definitely a lot of excitement around that team, what it means for them. So they're the ones I think that are going to be the most fascinating in this pool. We know Korea is the favorite, nature of the game. They're always competitive, plus they have home field advantage. You know, the Netherlands as well. I think if you look at major league stars, they're the team in this pool that is far and away the best. And they also have history on their side. They had that fourth place finish in their record here, which is the best finish that the U.S. has ever had. So we've seen the Netherlands put a competitive team on the field in this
tournament. And not just once. I mean, we've got to remember is that the Netherlands has had a pair of very impressive runs. I mean, this is the team that knocked the Dominican Republic out before as well, in one of the disappointing Dominican Republic finishes. We'll get to that later. But yeah, I mean, this is a team that also won the World Cup, basically right before it ended, which is a very big deal, especially for baseball in the Netherlands. I mean, we were talking
Cuba, the title game.
And it's a very interesting combo. Obviously, the major league presence of this team are largely players from the Netherlands and Antilles.
A lot of Curaçao.
Where you get Curaçao, you get, all that. But at the same time, Netherlands has a legitimate professional league in the Netherlands as well. So you aren't talking about a situation. This is not just the, there are truly Dutch, you know, European players on this team as well. So you do have that combo, and you have now the Netherlands. I mean, when you talk about baseball in Europe, the Netherlands has
the forefront.
Yeah, it has a legit league. It has some of the best facilities by far. You know, Italy has some good solid facilities as well, but not at the level of what the Netherlands has.
We've seen a couple Hoofdorf guys get and, signed out of, you know, from the MLB European Academy. Mm-hmm. I feel like more often than not, it's Dutch players
right.
based, you know, in the mainland Netherlands that end up getting those contracts. The Mariners, for a while, were all about those guys.
So you have the Netherlands, and then you have Taiwan, which, it will, or as they will be called during the tournament, Chinese Taipei. But Taiwan, which they have made it out of the first round. They've been a representative team at this, I guess would be the way to put it. And it does stand out. Like, again, South Korea is the favorite here. I would say Netherlands is clearly the other favorite. Like, two teams advance out of each pool. Round robin, you play everyone else in your pool, and basically after those three games, you line it up, and then, you know, there are tiebreakers if you need them. But it is every team in this pool I can chart a plausible path to the second round for Team Israel. It's not crazy.
Absolutely. You know, if they beat Taiwan and pull an upset somewhere, I think. But even that, I do expect them to be competitive. Korea and the Netherlands, I think we're in agreement, are the two favorites. If you're putting money on it in Vegas, those are the guys to advance. But I don't know if I really see a huge path for Taiwan, although they did it last time. To me, I do think there's a path for Israel. You know, for you, what does it look like?
See, to me, I do think the problem with Israel, the problem with Israel is this. I do think that their lineup, they have enough thump in their lineup.
The pitching will be a problem, no
but
question.
But they're going to piece together. It's going to be bullpen arm after bullpen arm after bullpen arm. And just to be completely blunt, they have some guys with velocity and all, but there is no guy, like, it does seem like I feel like that the success you usually see in the WBC is based around having one guy who can give you that dominant start. And again, admittedly, first round, we're not talking today gives you eight. We're talking
five.
He gives you four or five, but it does kind of get you set up. I don't think that Israel has that guy. I don't know if Taiwan has that guy. I do think, but the other thing with that is that this is not the best Korean team that we've seen at this tournament. We are going to see a team that in 13 basically was eliminated in the first round. In 6 and 9 was one of the best teams. You really could argue they didn't win it, but they were the best team in 06. They beat Japan regularly. They just didn't beat Japan in the final that year in 10 innings. So it wasn't, but what that team, those teams always had was you had the ace pitcher at the front to go with a very solid lineup and all. I do think this Korean team is still very solid. I also think the advantage that you see is that the Korean team, even more so than the Taiwan team, but the Korean team has been playing together for about a month to get ready for this, and I do think there's some advantage to that.
There's not a guy like, you know, a Hyunjin Ryu or a Wei Yin Chen, like, you know, oh, these guys are legit major league caliber pitchers, but I think in the context of this pool, There's a lot of arms who throw harder and are generally better. Obviously, Sung Hwan Oh is a back end, you know, great closer. But
I was gonna say Won Jung Jang, Yeon Young Yang are two guys who I think will be the best starting pitcher arms in this pool.
But are they at the level of like a Ryu or a Chen?
Right. No. So, but if you told me that one of those ended up pitching in the U.S., it wouldn't shock me. I'll put it that way. Though they are that caliber, I would put it. But I do think that the overriding thing that they have that Korea has and no one else in this division, this pool has, is Sung Hwan Oh. They have a closer who...
Shut it down.
The Netherlands, okay, if you're facing the middle of the Netherlands lineup and it's Bogaerts and
Gregorius,
Simmons, you know, Scope, all those guys, I'm not saying that they can't hit them. I am saying that it's going to be very hard for Taiwan, it's going to be very hard for Israel, no matter... even if the lineup is set up as good as it can be, I look at Israel as the higher the velo you're throwing against Israel, the better you're going to do against Israel. I do think they're going to see a lot of guys who throw high 80s, and I think that they have guys who can feast on that.
Right.
when you get an O and coming in the throwing, you know, much harder than that, that's going to be more tougher for them. Okay, before we move on, Pool A, your prediction.
Korea and Netherlands.
I'm with you.
In that order, 1-2.
I am with you on that. I think both of those teams are the teams that make it out. Okay, if one of, sounds like, so you think, though, if one of those is going to surprise and make it in, okay, who is the most likely of those two you think to not make it? So you, are you picking Korea? So you pick Korea one. So you think it's Netherlands, but if not, is it going to be Israel that makes it in, or would it be Taiwan?
I think it will. I think it'd be Israel with a lineup that they can just, you know, one of these days where Decker and Fryman and Davis are just going yard and Israel puts up, you know, say that I can see a scenario in which the Netherlands goes out there, throws out some of those Dutch pitchers who are throwing 88, and all of a sudden Israel puts up a 6 spot, a 7 spot. Now, does Israel have the pitching to hold it up? Maybe, maybe not, but I do think that's a scenario I can see playing out, which is why I would give the benefit of the doubt to Israel if there was a team that could sneak in here.
Okay. I think if a team is going to disappoint, I do think Korea is the team that could disappoint. They did it back in 13. But I agree with you that Israel is the team that sneaks in if there is one of the two others that makes it in, not Taiwan. So, but we both are agreement. So Korea, Netherlands is our Pool A, our Pool A advancees. Gets us to Pool B, the other pool being played in Asia to start, because this pool is going to be played in Japan. So you've got Australia, you've got China, you've got Cuba, you've got Japan. Now, you have to say, you pretty much start every World Baseball Classic by saying
Japan.
Japan. Because there is no team that comes close. They are by far in the first three. They haven't always won it, obviously. But
they've won two and been the semis in the other. So, you know, like, I don't think there's any doubt they will get to Dodger Stadium. If they don't, it will be shocking.
Well, especially this is the pool. If you asked me to pick any team, I you could make the same argument the U.S. and DR because their pool's set up for them. But if you wanted to ask me to pick any team that I feel confident is making it out of their first round, you look at this and it's like, I cannot construct a scenario for you where China, and it's tough, very tough to do it with Australia, to say where either of those goes on and Japan does not. That would be a collapse of epic proportions from Japan.
And I mean, I'll take it a step further. You look at, because the way it's going to work is this pool faces off in Pool A and that's second round bracket in Tokyo. Japan's better than the four teams in the other pool as well, with Korea and the Netherlands. So, I mean, to me, Japan is, if you were to ask, you know, who are the five best teams in this tournament, four of them are in the other section of the pool, of the bracket, whether it's US, DR, Puerto Rico, Venezuela. And then these guys, who are all alone, have this 18 Asian field, if you will. And Japan, to me, is just so much higher than any of the others. And that's without Shohei Ohtani. That's without a staff in years past where we've seen Yu Darvish and Masahiro Tanaka
and
Sasha Iwakuma.
This is with Nori Aoki being the only U.S. player playing in the major leagues right now who's part of this team. I don't think that's a disadvantage for them necessarily, though, because, again,
it's got them all played together.
I do think that there's advantage for the teams that don't have major leaguers but have talented players. They got to start a little earlier from the standpoint that you are borrowing those major league players. And so, like, the Samurai Japan has been playing together. The only guy who hadn't been there is Nori Aoki, because you can't get your major leaguers until right before the tournament begins. I think that they are so by far the class of this pool, because on the flip side, if we'd have been talking about in 06, we'd have been talking about 09, this would have been two Goliaths and then two teams that are just hoping really battle for third place, because third place means you qualify automatically for the next World Baseball Classic. Fourth place means you go back into the qualifier. But that's not where this Cuba team is now. I mean, this is a Cuban team that just reminds you of how good the Cuban teams used to be.
And Ben Babdar, I think, did an excellent job laying out sort of what's happened, that just with the way things have changed with international law and some of the legal aspects, as well as just the nature of the demand for Cuban talent, as we've seen spike up in recent years, there's no one left. I mean, it used to be the best Cuban players were leaving at age 24, 25. Now the best Cuban players are leaving at age 18, 19. So before they ever get a chance to play for the Cuban national team at a high-level tournament like this in their prime, they're gone.
They're gone.
So I think it's going to be interesting to see. You know, Cuba does have some veteran guys on here like Alfredo Despaigne, like Frederick Cepeda, who, you know, for all intents and purposes, have shown they can compete at top-level international competition. There are some other guys out there who, you know, do some nice things. Obviously, Victor Mesa is the one guy who's a real legit prospect. So I don't know if Cuba's going to just completely, you know, fall apart and go 0-3 by any means.
No,
I still think there's a very good chance they advance out of this pool. It's just not going to be the Cuban powerhouse as we've seen in years past with Yoenis Céspedes and Aroldis Chapman and the studs like that.
The thing that we still are lacking with Cuba, and it's been a steady decline, I mean, really, like, if you look at the difference between 06 and 09 and even the 2013 club, is that the pitching. Again, the best way I can describe this with Cuba is, imagine if you took, you know, I'm trying to find a good comparison. Like, imagine if you said, okay, all of the major leaguers have to come from California, which is the best state for as far as producing big leaguers. And then we said, okay, and now we're going to lop off, you know, the first 90% of your top players are gone. Okay. Now, but imagine instead of it being that, let's imagine that it's, we're just doing it with the Los Angeles area, because that's really more concisely what Cuba is. What you do is that the pitching, if you lose an Aroldis Chapman and a Vladimir Gutierrez and an Orlando Despaigne and all these guys, if you lose all these guys, the next wave, there are still some hitters. There still are, you know, as you mentioned, but pitching wise, it's a whole lot of guys who have some field to pitch. But we talked about the 85 to 88, those are the guys that, you know, the guy who has a slider speed bat can still hit. That's the guys they're throwing out there. Now, they're put in a pool. I give China massive credit for the fact that this team from day one has been more competitive than it should be, logically. This is a team that beat Taiwan, you know, before the World Baseball Classic, which amazed me, you know, and they, but at the same time, China has Bruce Chen, who, hey, what, you're going to get some innings out of him. He's crafty. Bruce Chen's not going to, yeah, he's not going to blow away the radar gun, but Bruce Chen didn't blow away the radar gun when he was pitching in the big leagues. You know, he used to. I saw him when he was 95 from the left side.
Really?
When he was the Sally League pitcher of the year.
Bruce Chen is 88 to 91, crafty lefty.
No. It's interesting. I covered a team that had Bruce Chen in Macon and Bruce Chen and Jason Marquis on the same staff. And here they are, both retired and both pitching.
21 years later, right? This was 95?
97. This is 97. Okay. So 97 staff. So 20 years later, both of them are pitching in the World Baseball Classic and neither of them will top 90 in this at all. But they have Bruce Chen. They have Ray Chang, who's played for a long time in the U.S. minor leagues.
Triple A, right?
Yeah. And has a history of also of international experience. They've got, you know, Guiyan Wu, who is, he's playing in the Orioles system. He played in the GCL last year and he didn't hit. So.
As a first baseman.
Again, it's nothing against him, but that is.
It's elite.
That's the top players we're talking about. We're talking about, I say, they're to me clearly the number four in this because you compare them to Australia, which is not a great Australian team.
They've got some big leaguers. They've got a mix of veterans. Even with Liam Hendricks bowing out, you still have got Peter Moylan, Travis Blackley, Ryan Rowland-Smith. I mean, these are...
And they've got arms. They've got a couple of bullpen arms. Will be 92, 93. Right. Again, Velo, in a tournament like this, I'm all about velocity normally, but the reality of it is in a tournament like this,
it makes more of a difference because a lot of these guys, like you're mentioning, Cuba, they're seeing 85, 86 with some funky movement. Oh, China,
I mean,
they've never seen consistently 93, 94.
No, and so that's the thing. I think Japan, I think you agree with me. My prediction is if Japan doesn't make it out of this pool, it's the biggest upset in World Baseball Classic history so far. If Cuba doesn't make it up, it's an upset. Australia to me, is two leaps and a bound ahead of China, which this is as good a China team as you could put out here almost. I mean, I know that they had a couple guys who fell through. Every one of these teams had guys who fell through.
Right.
But I would say I would put a 100% shot for Japan, a 90% shot for Cuba, because partly also the reality of it is that there is an expectation. I mean, this Cuban team was also playing. They went straight from Serie Nationale to playing in the Caribbean Series, where they played well, again, against a mixture of basically players who play in the minor leagues and the major leagues in the U.S. So they played well in the Caribbean Series. Then they went straight to Asia. This team is, the thing that Cuba has going for them is they are, more than anyone else in this tournament, they are in midseason form. They are not trying to shake the rust off, like you're going to see for a lot of the major league players. Their timing, and all that. But I would say Japan, 100% shot. Cuba, I would still put as an 85% shot of advancing. I'll give Australia a 14% shot of advancing, and I'll give China 1%. What do you think?
I do think it'll be Japan and Cuba. I'm a little less optimistic on Cuba than you are, just because I do look at Australia, and I can absolutely see a situation where, hey, you know, the Trent Elkins and Luke Hughes of the world, while by major league standards, that's not, those guys aren't studs, they can hit 86. Easy. I mean, so I could see a scenario where if Cuba just doesn't have enough arms, especially with the way it matches up to, you know, compete with, frankly, ex-big leaguers, and, you know, Australia comes out, and all of a sudden you've got these guys, these Moylans, these Roland Smiths, a couple other guys who throw 90s. Cuban hitters outside of Desfondi and Cepeda may not be ready for it. I could see it. I would probably put Cuba at like a 60% chance of advancing, okay, and Australia in like the 40% chance of advancing. To me,
So you're fitting there also. What
percentage? China's one. I mean, China, you know, they're a league that started up, what, a couple years ago, I think?
No, they've been around. They had the before the Olympics.
But did it get shut down or something?
But yeah, it's really struggled to kind of keep going. And I mean, you are talking about players who. It is
something where MLB, to their credit, has spent a lot of time trying to develop. It's building up, but it's sort of like people talk about, oh yeah, my neighborhood's gentrifying. It's not gentrified yet. It still has a ways to go, and it's just something where I feel like that's where China's at, where it's cool the progress they're making, but they're not
They don't have power. They don't have power bats, and they don't have power arms yet. And that's something where, again, I give that team all the credit in the world in that they have been much more representative. First time in 06, now I'll say this, in 06, they got blown out on a pretty regular.
18-1 or something.
Yeah, they got blown out. And you got to remember, there's mercy rules. So,
yeah,
they got blown out a lot. In 09, they got blown out less. In 13, they got blown out less. But, again, for that team to advance to the second round would still, to me, be an amazing, amazing thing. And at the same time, if Cuba, I don't care how depleted Cuba is, if Cuba lost, did not advance, and China did, that is the low point. That is, there have been a lot of low points recently for Cuban baseball. That's a low point beyond anything that they've ever experienced, because, again, baseball in Cuba is so big. Baseball in China is so small. And this is not a team of Chinese Americans. This is not a team largely of players who had a grandmother or a grandfather who came from China. This is a team that is predominantly made up of players who play the game in China. That's a pretty big difference. So we'll get back to picking who comes out from Pool A and Pool B in the second round. Pool 1, I believe that is.
But so far, we're in agreement. Mm-hmm. Japan, Cuba, Korea, and the Netherlands.
Yes, which I think are clearly, I would say that the drop-off there is Cuba's the fourth team of that group now.
And then you kind of have Australia, Israel, a clear tier below.
Right, and I would say that there's a big drop-off from Japan to the Netherlands and South Korea, and then South Korea to Cuba, and then from Cuba there's another drop off. But then, that gets us to Pool C. Pool C, which I would call we're going to get the U.S. and Dominicans into round two. Yeah. It's Canada, it's Colombia, it's the Dominican Republic, it's the U.S.
I mean, the U.S. Dominican showcase, that's the main game. It's already sold out. John Blundell of Major League Baseball PR, it's in Miami. So you're going to have a lot of folks there who have some heritage on the Dominican side as well. This is going to be a fantastic setup with these two teams. I mean, it's Major League All-Star teams in a lot of ways. Now, obviously, the U.S. did not get the top flight pitchers. You know, it's not Clayton Kershaw and Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander.
If you haven't read our preview, go to baseballamerica.com, and we have a preview that explains how even if they wanted those guys, they probably couldn't afford them all because of insurance. Know,
but, I mean, you're still looking at Marcus Stroman, Chris Archer, Danny Duffy, Michael Fulmer. That, for my money, you know, looking at how the U.S. stacks up comparatively, they don't have the two aces like the Dominican has, but they have more starting pitching depth.
Let me throw something out for you, though. But, okay, top two pitchers, starters for the U.S., better than Colombia or not?
Well, that's tricky. Probably not, but Colombia has zero after them.
Right, so, but when you say, though, I mean,
Teron, Jose Quintana versus Marcus Stroman, Chris Archer.
That's pretty equivalent, and that's, I mean, great. Credit to Colombia. I mean, again, this is, you, as you said, I mean, the thing for Colombia is that Colombia is talented at the top, but not very deep.
Right.
Obviously, the U.S. is very deep.
Right.
But, sorry, continue.
Yeah, so, I mean, I do think the U.S. did a good job this year getting a lot of baseball's best players, as opposed to guys who are older, big names. You know, you look at whether it's Posey, Arenado, Goldschmidt, Stanton, Adam Jones, Eric Hosmer, Christian Yelich. These are mostly guys still in their primes, in their 20s, and some of baseball's best players. The pitching staff as well is a lot of guys, you know, in their 20s who are really, really still, you know, in their prime, have the motivation to participate, as opposed to maybe some 35-year-olds who are doing it. Oh, it's a cool experience, but it's not a momentous situation for their careers. I think that should help the U.S. here. I really don't see a scenario in which the U.S. and the Dominican Republic are not the two teams advancing out of this. I mean, Canada has some hitters, Colombia has some pitchers, but when you talk about roster composition, depth, ability to just roll out pitchers, length of the lineup 1-9, the U.S. and the Dominican Republic are on a different scale.
Right, and the thing about it is that this pool, this is not, for as far as Team Canada, there are, you know, hey, you got Freddie Freeman here. That's impressive, you know, but you got Tyler O'Neill who, yeah, he's a minor leaguer, but Tyler O'Neill would not shock me if he has a very good.
It would not shock me if he puts at least one ball out at Marlins Park that makes people go, holy crap.
At the same time, though, this is, I do feel like this Canadian team is, pitching wise, it's very limited.
Ryan Dempster coming out of retirement,
woohoo! And Theo Epstein is hitting him pretty well, as we saw this week. So I do think, yeah, I see Canada and Colombia. Okay, so let's put percentages on this. 95%+ for both U.S. and Dominican.
I'd say 99. I mean, I understand that upsets happen, but to me, the drop-off is so great. I mean, I'd give Colombia maybe a 5%, and that's if Quintana and Teron both go out and just throw complete game, ridiculous, you know, ridiculous showings, and they scrape across the run. Because right now, Colombia's best hitter is Giovanni Urshela. That's their top hitter. I mean,
no. I'm going to go with Jorge Alfaro is better than him. I know he's not a big leaguer, but
it's projection. I mean, it is. Urshela has
It's not projection. It is just that one guy's been in the big leagues and one guy hasn't. But Jorge Alfaro,
Dilson Herrera. But I mean, we're still talking about guys who. Okay.
Yeah, I would also say Dilson Herrera is a better pure hitter than Giovanni Urshela.
Possible. But the point is, we're still talking about guys who either have spent less than 175 plate appearances in the big leagues or guys who are fringe big leaguers. And so there's just not a whole lot there.
But one thing I will say is I do think this is where I see what often happens, and I'm not saying you're doing it, but like when we look at the pool, we talk about pool A and pool B, and like South Korea and Japan and team, and you know, guys, you know, they're not the major leaguers out there. You know, well, in a short tournament like this, a good AAA caliber player can end up being just as good. But on this one, they're facing two teams
right.
that are legitimate. Like, if you take the Dominican team and put it out there as, you know, and said, okay, we're going to put it just in the AL Central.
Oh, they'd compete for World Series.
You know, I mean, so that's, yeah. So that's why we think that these two teams, if you put Columbia out there, again, it's much different, over a 162-game schedule, they win 40, 35,
maybe
20. I mean,
it's right. So, I mean, and I agree that, generally speaking, yes, looking at, oh, who has the most MLB stars is not the best way to analyze this tournament. At the same time, with the way this pool is constructed, you know, is Columbia, is there any scenario they put up enough runs if they have to go up against, you know, if they're starting against Johnny Cueto, he gets backed up.
Cueto's not going to be in the first round, though.
Or, sorry, Carlos Martinez, yeah. And then it follows with some combination of
just whatever, yeah.
Tatis, you know, Severino, Nova. I mean, there's so many guys.
Actually, Cueto is in the first round. He said he's not going to pitch further. It's like he's going to make one start and then be back, I think was the plan.
So anyway, but, you know, I think
that is the unfortunate thing. Keeping track of who is in today, who's not. Like Adrian Beltre keeps putting off the decision because he really wants to play.
Gonzalez from Mexico is still waiting on an elbow exam, I believe.
Right.
So, yeah, I going back to percentages, though, to me, it's Dominican, the U.S., 99.9. Colombia, I'll give them 5%. Canada.
You can't. If 99.9, you can't give Colombia 5. You're giving them 0.01 or 0.1.
All right, let's go Dominican, 99, U.S. 99, Colombia, 1.
2, or you get 2 then.
1, and Canada, 1.
Okay, so you're
going to
Canada.
That's really what it was. I mean, if Canada, again, if, you know, Morneau, Freeman, O'Neill, Naylor come out, and all of a sudden they put up a 5 spot in an inning, and they're able to scrape enough out of, you know, Nick Pivetta, Scott Matheson, Dustin Mulkin, just keep it semi-respectable, sure, I can see it maybe, but
again,
it's not probable.
I look at Canada there. Canada's had to come out of the qualifier before. That Canada-Columbia game is frightening if I'm Canada because I'm...
If they're facing Tehran, I'd pick Columbia to win that game.
And if I'm Columbia, I probably think of this... I mean, it's tough to do, but you probably think of this strategically. Are you better off? You've got two guys who you want to... Who
walk Freddie Freeman.
But I'm saying, like, you could choose to go against the Dominican and the U.S. with your best arms. I would say, instead, I want to use one of my best arms against Canada.
Make sure you get
that. I want that win, because if you're Colombia and you get that win, then you are talking about that may be enough to make sure that you're a qualifier for the next WBC.
And keep in mind, this is Colombia's first appearance. They've never qualified before.
Right.
So the idea that, yes, let's go in here and let's get that one win, I think makes a lot of sense.
And again, this is a Colombia team. Okay, yeah, their best guys are Quintana and Tehran, and those guys not, you know, like they're in the prime. But you talk about an Alfaro and a, you know, Mavis Valoria and a Dilson Herrera and guys like that. This team could be better in 3 years. And
there's two 20-year-old pitchers, the Myers, I really liked as well. I made sure to highlight Erling Moreno from the Cubs, River San Martin from the Rangers. You know, so you're right. There's a lot of young talent. Even, you know, a guy like Teron Guerrero, who's an older prospect. He's still a prospect.
He's going to throw hard. He's going to throw hard, which, again, in a tournament like this, if he can be around the zone.
Backstop.
Yeah, might be around the zone. So that gets us to our final Pool D.
Do you agree with that, U.S.
Yeah.
Dominican? Okay, just double-checking.
Oh, yeah. Pool D, we have Italy, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Venezuela. This is a tough one, and I say that because every team in this pool at some point has done something. Right. Also,
this is the group of death, to take World Cup terms. This is the group of
death. At the same time, with the exception of Italy, I don't think Italy has ever disappointed at this tournament, because they're Italy, the expectations are low, and Italy last time made a deep run, made it to the second
Mexico.
Round. You know, they made it to the second round out of a Mexico, Canada, U.S., and Italy, which no one was picking Italy to make it out of that round, and they did, and they were even sprightly in the second round. So they have never disappointed. Mexico has disappointed at this tournament. They did last time. Venezuela has generally been disappointing at this tournament. And Puerto Rico has been disappointing, and then they had the great run they had last time where they lost in the final. So we have a lot of variance in this, and this is a pool where, again, like, Italy is clearly, to me, the underdog. But even Italy, Well, okay, let's start with the percentage this time. What percentage chance do you give Italy to get out of this?
20.
Yeah,
which is higher than any other. I mean, I really think that the bottom of this pool is so far beyond the bottom of the other three pools. I mean, Italy absolutely has I'd give them a solid 20% chance to come out of this.
The thing I think where I would be interested, again, when you're playing matchup, you don't have to have great arms. But I do worry they don't have – I think the thing that Italy had last time, they obviously had Anthony Rizzo. But more than that, they had a back end of the bullpen that really came up huge for them in kind of these – in those first-round games. I don't think they have that this time. And you look at that compared to, okay, who's your favorite in this one?
To me, it's Venezuela. I really do think that I look at that lineup and it just goes on and on and on. And the pitching staff, I don't love it.
I mean, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen our preview, Carlos Gonzalez, Victor Martinez, Salvador Perez, Martin Prado, Ender Inciarte, Yandrivas Solarte, Odubel Herrera, Freddy Galvis, Alcides Escobar.
And oh, by the way, Miguel Cabrera and Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
And that's the behind the top guys.
Right. So to me, and then the pitching staff, in the context of like Major League Baseball, I maybe don't love it because, you know, Felix is great, but he's down a little bit. Perez is solid. You look at guys like Eduardo Rodriguez, Julius Chacin, but in the context of the World Baseball Classic, it's a good group. You have a strong bullpen. You've got K-Rod, Hector Rondon, Jeanmar Gomez. To me, it's just they're well-rounded. They've got everything. Plus, you know, we've talked about, I think, A, they lost in the first round last time, so there's a little bit of motivation. We've talked about what's happening in their country and how there's a little bit of an extra tick up of pride in that regard. I think that Venezuela is the favorite. I will say this, though, just as before, like, oh, the Dominican, Japan, whatever, they're going to get in. There's zero chance they don't make it. I could see Venezuela losing to Mexico and Puerto Rico and being out.
I don't think you can give any team in this pool a better than 70, 65, 70% shot of advancing because again, if you are talking about this was the middle of the season and we're talking about a three-game series and you have Venezuela, you'd say, okay, when you look at the other pitchers in this, you say Felix Hernandez versus any other pitcher in this pool, with maybe the exception of Julio Urias, you know, anyone else, you say that they have a massive advantage. Again, you're talking about Felix for 4-5. And after that, you know, again, these lineups are, I kind of think I may be inclined to say that Puerto Rico is the favorite out of this pool.
Which is perfectly defensible.
When you talk about guys who want to play in this, I was talking to Francisco Lindor and Carlos Correa. They were talking about this World Baseball Classic at the time of the last one when they were Class A players. There is a understandable pride in baseball in Puerto Rico, and we are really seeing like a renaissance of as far as big league stars from Puerto Rico. I don't think you can, I mean, yes, you can say that the Venezuelan infield is just as good. You can say that the U.S. infield is just as good. You can say the Dominican Republic infield is basically as good. And you could probably even throw the Netherlands in there, although they don't have a pure first baseman. But, okay, Anderton Simmons, Didi Gregorius, Xander Jonathan Scope, Xander Bogarts. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Jerks and Profar for the first,
you know,
if you want.
Although he's going to be left field, I think, predominantly. But, yeah. But that said, Carlos Correa, Francisco Lindor, Javi Baez.
Yeah, that'll work.
There's no better than that in this.
And by the way, even beyond them, Carlos Beltran, Yadier Molina, you know,
who was huge for this because Yadier Molina, basically, I know that Edwin Rodriguez is the manager. Yadier Molina is manager number two because what he will do with this is these pitchers will get, he did this last time, these pitchers will get everything that they can out of what, because they've got Yadier Molina back there and he is going to be able to do that.
And it's huge because their staff is incredibly young. You look at some of these other staffs in this tournament, it's a lot more guys who've been the majors, had some success. For them, it really is Jose De Leon, Jose Berrios,
Seth Lugo,
Joe Jimenez, Edwin Diaz. I mean, it's a lot.
Alex Claudio is going to throw changeup after changeup.
It's young guys. I mean, Hector Santiago is really the only veteran in this group. So I think Yadier Molina being there to help guide, okay, Jose De Leon, This is how we get the big league hitters in Venezuela and Mexico's lineups out. Let me guide you through it. It's huge.
If you ask me, though, which team has, now again, we don't know about Adrian Gonzalez, but Mexico has, this Mexican team is very much better than the one that was on the field in 2013. There's a lot of teams that I would say are equivalent or maybe a little worse. There are a number of teams who are significantly worse, but I do think when I look at Mexico, this is a better team Mexico than the one that we saw that lost in the first round in 13.
What I like about them is all the arms they have, I think they're uniquely suited for matchup baseball more than maybe any other team in this tournament. You know, the Dominicans can just blow pitches by you, but when you look at Mexico, they've got guys from the right, the left, soft tossers, guys who can really bring it. I do think that, you know, that pitching staff could absolutely carry Mexico, because especially if Adrian Gonzalez bows out of this, they already lost Chris Davis. They're probably going to have to scrape for some runs, again, facing the big league pitchers that Venezuela and Puerto Rico are throwing out.
That's true. But they still have at least guys, Brandon Laird, Alex Verdugo.
My guy Luis Urias was added to the roster. Watch him hit .480.
Kyle is very much a Urias believer. So I do think, though, the other thing, the advantage they have is that they're going to be playing at home.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful ballpark in Jalisco. You know, it's something where they will have a home field advantage in this. And again, it should be a great environment there. Okay, so throw your percentages on it.
Venezuela, 70. Puerto Rico, 60. Mexico, 40. Italy, 30.
Okay, so that's...
Maybe Mexico, 45. Italy, 25. I mean, that's...
Okay, I'm going to go Puerto Rico, 70. Venezuelan, 70. Mexico, 40, Italy, 20.
Yeah,
so, but again, our point is this is a one where this could go a lot of different ways, and this will be a fascinating pool to watch. Okay, so
are we picking Puerto Rico and Venezuela? Is that the?
So that's what we're doing essentially.
Yeah.
So now we're saying, okay, so now we get to the second round, and we have Japan, Netherlands, Cuba. And who am I forgetting? So Japan is the Korea. Okay. Two teams make it out of that. And I say that is
Japan.
This is the pool that has generally like been the better pool in the World Baseball Classic. I mean, this was Korea and Japan came out of there in 06 and then played each other in the championship round. Japan has been there every time. This is the better, you know, Cuba has been there before. This is the better pool, like from that standpoint. That being said, if I'm weighting these right now, and it's not, and I mean this not because I'm looking at it from an MLB-centric viewpoint. I mean, that's where I get frustrated sometimes. It's like, no, they play really good baseball in Asia. You know, the reality is when it comes to this, the U.S., has nothing on Japan, has nothing on South Korea when it comes to World Baseball Classic. All that being said, though, I don't think that this is I think that Japan is missing the ace that they've had in the past.
Right.
I think that Korea is missing the ace that they've had in the past. Although, this is the weaker pool to me.
Oh, I agree completely. There's no question that we've talked about all the names that Japan and Korea have had in years past. They don't have those guys this year. There's no question.
And we don't mean that from you haven't heard these guys yet. This is what we're saying is they don't. That's why we're not having Ohtani.
There is no Yu Darvish.
If Ohtani was just pitching in this tournament, I would then say I would feel very confident picking Japan as my favorite because Ohtani would pitch once in the first round, he pitched once in the second round, and he pitched the championship game. And I would feel very comfortable him matching up against anyone in this tournament. They don't have that guy.
Right. That's fair.
But we got to pick two teams. So who are the two that you got coming out?
Still Japan comes out. Even, you know, without that ace, out of those four, they're the best team. They've got the best balance of position players. Their pitchers are still pretty good, even without Shohei Ohtani. Shintaro Fujinami is a guy I do think we'll hear more about in the major leagues in a few years. You know, that second team is tricky.
I'm
inclined, I think, believe it or not, to go with the Netherlands. Just the fact that they got that taste of fourth place last time out. So they have some experience. They have some confidence. I like the way their lineup's put together, where you have those young, exciting, big league guys we talked about. They've also got guys like Vladimir Valentin who, you know, have been playing abroad but are good players who know how to play well in international competition. Again, none of these other teams have load after load after load of good pitchers. So I see, you know, Rick Vandenhert, Loic van Mail, Rob Quartermans, Netherlands Dutch legend. I still think that's kind of a better group of pitchers than what a lot of the other guys and teams in this pool are going to be throwing out. So to me, I just look kind of top to bottom and see the Netherlands as that second team behind Japan.
I'm going to go Japan and Korea. And the reason I say this is I disagree with you on the Netherlands pitching. I think the Netherlands pitching...
Korea has... You're right. That's fair. Korea has more guys who could really ramp it up.
My worry for Netherlands is the lineup's great. After you get past Vandenhert, I don't know if they have enough pitching to get through. So that's why... So you're going to say those two. I'm going to say Japan and Korea. Although I don't think... I think that this is a weaker Korean team than the one that had disappointed last time. I'm still, for some reason, because I think that this pool is that much weaker than it's been.
And that's fair. Let me put it this way. I don't think anyone should be shocked or surprised. I think the only shock or surprise out of all of this will be if Japan does not make it.
So then we go to the other pool that would play in the second round, and that gives us the U.S. and Dominican, which we feel very confident will be there, and then Venezuela and Puerto Rico, which we think will be there. Although we say in that one it could be Mexico, it could be even, there's even a chance for Italy. Who makes it out of that? Well, I'll start with, does the U.S. make it to the semifinals for the second time in the fourth World Baseball Classic?
Honest answer?
Mm-hmm.
Flip a coin. I mean, if you want to break down Dominican, U.S., Puerto Rico, Venezuela, 50-50. I really think that all these teams have such significant strengths while also enough weaknesses that I could see them, you know, being exploited by the opponent that they're going to be facing. This is tough. I mean, I in our previous podcast, I said I was picking the U.S. for the semis, and then I went home. I'm like, do I really think the Dominican won't even make it to the semifinals? But I also think Venezuela, they're kind of picking them as a favorite to win the whole thing. This is tough. I mean, this is Elite Eight Final Four bracketology. It's tough to, you know, at a certain point, all the teams are so talented, trying to pick out which one's better, it almost is a coin flip.
Yeah, but you got to pick. Who are you picking? Got to pick two. We understand that we're not saying that this is the Iron Man lock of the week, but
I am picking Venezuela to advance to the semis. I feel like I got to stay consistent. I'll stick with the U.S.
So you've got the U.S. and Venezuela,
yeah,
advancing to the finals. I think the U.S. doesn't make it. I think this is yet another time that the U.S., I think that they, for some reason, the assemblage of stars does not work particularly well for them in international play in the World Baseball Classic. I get your point about that they're younger, but I'm going to say Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, like they did last time, they make it out. And again, I could be wrong, but I do think, I see Carlos Correa and Francisco Lindor doing some heroic things.
Javier Baez will make at least two plays that make you go, wow, and at least two plays that make you go, what the heck is he doing?
Right. So, so that gets us to, so then that puts us in our final four. And really at this point, we'll just say, who do you pick winning it all? Because I keep going around. I think I've changed my tune.
You know, all these teams we're talking about can absolutely win it. I feel like I got to stay a little consistent, and maybe this is me falling way too much in love with the length of the Venezuelans lineup and the mix of guys who can hit for power, hit for average, steal some bases, take a walk when they need. But I do really love the way this Venezuela team is constructed. So I feel like I have to stick with what I said before and pick Venezuela. At the same time, I want to make this extremely clear. If I say I pick Venezuela and lose the second round, people can't go, oh, ha, 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 you were wrong. Because I absolutely acknowledge that, like I said before, it's 50-50 whether they even get out of the second round.
But let's also make this clear. And these are one and dones at this point. This is a tournament, which I kind of find cool. you don't know what's, I mean, this is like people decry the wild card because, well, you know, in baseball, can you really have it based on one game? That's what's awesome about this. It's based on one game.
Yeah.
And so crazy things can happen. That's how you can have in Italy. Again, if you said we're going to play, we're blinding these teams up, we're going to play for a month, Italy never makes it to the second round. But Jason Grilli can say, take the team, put it on the back. Chris Colabello, who hadn't even played the big leagues yet at that point, can hit a key home run, and all of a sudden Italy's in the second round. That's what's awesome about this. If I'm going to say, though, who am I going to pick? I keep going back and forth on this because I really do think that this side is the side where if I pick someone, the safe thing for me to pick would be to pick Japan because I think that Japan has such a clear path to get to the semifinals that then all I'm talking about is can they win two games? Yeah, to win it. But that being said, I'm going to go with Puerto Rico. I think that maybe this is the year that Puerto Rico does something pretty amazing. And I could also see Puerto Rico not making it out of the first round, but I'll go with Puerto Rico. I mean, again, what we're saying is, and this is where I think the World Baseball Classic has been very valuable for baseball overall, is one of the criticisms when the Olympics, which we could do a whole podcast of the craziness that is Olympic leadership, but when the then IOC president was trying to figure out an excuse to get rid of baseball so that he could get his favorite sports his and his wife's favorite sports into the Olympics. I'm not making that up. That's what happened. But when he was doing that, one of the arguments that they were using was baseball doesn't have enough breadth of competition to be worthy of Olympic sport. You don't have the same talent spread around and all that. And what is great about this tournament is it is showing, it is a reminder.
It's growing, it's getting better.
But even that, even when this tournament began, it's easy to be stuck in our mindset of the U.S. It's like South Korea doesn't have many players in the majors, therefore they must not play very good baseball. And it's like, no, just because you've never heard of these guys doesn't mean that they're not good. Korean baseball is fascinating because what I love about this tournament in some ways is they play the game differently. I mean, there are different styles. But Korean baseball now in 2016, going into 2017, is played. Imagine if you said that if you thought that the run environment of 1999 was just a little bit too thin. If we just have some more scoring, that's Korean baseball. I mean, like, that is... Korean baseball is, well, they put up 8 in the first and so on, now, but I think the next one's going to come back. That's what you get. And that's cool to see. But what the point is, though, is that the Dominican, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, we've already, the U.S., but also Japan, South Korea, Cuba, Netherlands. We basically have a wide range of countries from around the world, truly. Who are competitive. But you keep saying now, and that's what's wrong. It's not now. They were competitive back then, too.
I would say, so this was my my thoughts on it. When I say now, I feel like maybe, I think Puerto Rico, these last 2 years,
they've gotten more competitive. I agree with you on that.
The Netherlands has gotten more competitive these last two times out. So I think I would say that I feel like, yes, the U.S.
But I was saying, but the balance, though, is what I'm saying when you say now, though, Cuba in 2006, like we've lost Cuba.
It's true.
Japan in 2006. What I'm trying to make is that from the first iteration of this World Baseball Classic,
it was clear this that has Japan been, was a
but better, this has always been a much more competitive tournament than people think.
Oh, I completely agree.
And that's where I'm.
I do agree. With
yeah,
that. One of my earliest memories. So, 2006 World Baseball Classic, San Diego. I was there, and we went to a few games. Went back in 2009, but for me, what was cool about it and why I love this event is, in a lot of ways, I think that was the first time U.S. people could see the level of the quality of play that Japan is playing at is exceptional baseball. At that time in 2006, we knew about individual players, especially in Southern California. We'd seen Hideo Nomo come through. Mm-hmm. We'd seen, Chan Ho Park for Taiwan come through. We'd seen other guys like Shigeta
Hasegawa. Obviously, Ichiro was a West Coast star.
Ichiro was the first, first position player. But that was about, there's individual guys who were good, but the overall quality of play the narrative was always, well, it's way below, not a low blow, way below. But then seeing it and seeing the quality of the players top to bottom, I think there was definitely a new appreciation for the quality of baseball being played in Japan and in Korea.
Right. And the point that, again, and I'm sorry if I'm making it too strongly, is that in basketball, there was, like, basically you saw in, like, 88, where you had reached the point where the U.S. had to try for the first time, essentially. No longer will we tie one arm behind our back and say, well, we can send our best college players to compete against the best everyone else has from around the world. And so in 92, they go out, and it really is at that point that, I mean, it's laughable how much better they were than everyone else in the world. And my point is that in baseball, partly because of the nature of the game, because let's be honest, in a baseball game, if you're talking about a short tournament, one pitcher, you know, if you have one great pitcher, he's much more valuable. Michael Jordan may be the best in the world, and he may be able to dominate, but he can't dominate a basketball tournament the way that, you know, Matsuzaka or Yu Darvish at their peak could dominate in a baseball tournament in one game. But my point, though, is that, you know, even like if you look at international play, it is easy for us to think, oh, the U.S. is just better at this. And it's like, no. Reality of this is that, you know, yes, the U.S. can say we don't have all of our best players. But the reality of it is even if they did, it doesn't make the U.S. If you put a dream team out in the World Baseball Classic for the U.S., it's still not a slam dunk to win it. And that's where I think is what's awesome about what international baseball is it's more competitive than a lot of times. But I do think at the same time, it's also the drawback in many ways for baseball in the U.S. is that there's also not that same urgency because the U.S. feels very confident in its baseball acumen, where we saw the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico in 2013, how vital and important it was for those guys because they really felt like that they were playing for the pride of their country. Or then in the Puerto Rico's case, the pride of their Commonwealth. And I've never, you know, three World Baseball Classics so far, I've never seen that same fire from the U.S. team.
No question. And that's what'll be interesting to me to see is with this U.S. team now going younger, if we see more fire, you know, are Alex Bregman and, you know, Nolan Arenado going to bring more fire than Derek Jeter and Chipper Jones? You think so, but I guess there's only one way to find out.
Yeah, we'll see. And that's what's going to be fascinating. We are going to be watching a lot of it. We're going to be fascinated. Kyle will be there for the semis and the finals
and the second round.
So, yeah, so you will be...
I'll have 9 straight days of all World Baseball coverage, World Baseball Classic. So follow along on Twitter, readbaseballamerica.com. We will have it all. We're also are going to have... We have someone in Japan writing reports for us. We are going to have people in Miami doing some stories for us. So, Baseball America, we've really got it covered.
Starting on Monday,
come to our site every day for two and a half weeks. We will have it covered.
This is a big deal to us. And the other thing about that is it's a big deal to us. And international baseball has long been a big deal to Baseball America. And so that's why when we did this, we wanted to talk about, like, again, if you go and read our preview stuff also, we want to give you as much info on Team Korea and Team Israel as we do, and Team Japan. We want to give you as much info on those teams as we do on Team DR and Team USA, because the reality is, yes, is it a little harder to gather the info? Sure, but we've gathered that info for you. We want, when you're watching, I've got an insane amount of notes on Team Korea that I may, you know, I wanted to share online. Like, here you go. Because I want, when you're watching that game, to know, like, I mean, to know the difference players and, like, oh, this is the guy I need to watch. This guy's a 22-year-old shortstop in Korea. Ah, he's fascinating to see what he's going to develop into. That kind of thing. There's a lot there. There's a lot. We love this event. But we thank you for the download. We thank you for listening. You know, you can subscribe to, this is your first Baseball America podcast you listen to. Subscribe to us on iTunes. If you go to baseballamerica.com/podcast, I believe is the link, it'll give you the way to subscribe to us on your Apple device, you know, or your Android device. There's a lot of ways to get us that way. You can also write a review for us on iTunes. We appreciate that. if you do. But we also want to thank you and remind you that our Baseball America podcast are sponsored by Baseballism. Baseballism is the official off-the-field brand of baseball, offering apparel for men, women, and kids. If you're a baseball fan, you need to check out Baseballism.com or visit their retail locations in Cooperstown, New York, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Visit Baseballism.com and enter the code BA2017 to save 20% on your order. For Kyle Glazer, I'm JJ Cooper. Thank you again, and we will be talking WBC, I'm sure, again at some point next week. So long, everybody.
This concludes our program. Want more in-depth baseball coverage? Be a better fan. Visit BaseballAmerica.com to get more comprehensive baseball coverage.